Welcome to the Act Two Studio Playhouse, featuring audio recordings of original plays by members of the Estelle Craig Act Two Studio at the Chang School of Ryerson University. We are pleased to present this one-act play entitled Even Steven, written by Pat Cochran and directed by Jeanette Cairns. The play drops us into the lives of two sisters, Lily and Sylvia McGill. It was written for the stage and recorded remotely via Zoom technology.
The play Even Steven has two characters, Sylvia, a woman aged 50, well-dressed, she carries an umbrella. Lily, her sister, is 48 and she's casually dressed. The setting is Lily's home. There's a sofa, a coffee table, and a china cabinet. Sylvia enters with a wet umbrella. She puts it down and looks briefly around the room.
Lily, I'm here. I let myself in. I rang the doorbell.
Oh, that damn bell doesn't work. It's as old as this house. Here, I'll take the umbrella. Good thing you had it.
Well, I looked at the forecast before I started out. It's okay. It's just drizzle. Anyway, how are you doing, sis? Give me a hug. God, it seems like a long time since we had a visit. Let me look at you.
I was trying to remember when you were last here. It was just before Mom died, I think. So 2 years at least. And the last time I saw you was last year at Dougie's graduation. So last June.
Well, I'm here now. You look great, Lily.
Oh, come on now. I look like hell, but you look great. I love your hair.
Do you? Thanks. I just got it colored. It's getting so gray, just all of a sudden.
Mine too. Just look.
It's not bad. Mine was worse. And I don't get it. Mom's hair wasn't gray and she was in her 70s.
We have Dad's hair, I guess. He was totally gray by 45 or so. You can see it in his pictures.
Sylvia looks around.
Mom's china cabinet looks great there.
You knew I had it, right? I mean, I was pretty sure you didn't want it.
No, it's fine, obviously. Really, it's fine. I like the new paint job. A bold choice. You always had the knack of pulling a room together.
Thanks, Syl. I worry it looks too trendy for this space. My furniture is so old.
No, it's perfect. From the time we were kids, you were always busy painting stuff, rearranging stuff, sewing stuff. You should have been an interior designer. Everybody said...
Would have, should have.
But seriously, Lily, you could easily have been one of those city line decorators.
Anyway, enough of that. Let's open a bottle of wine, shall we?
I thought you'd never ask.
Grab two glasses out of the cabinet, would you? Might as well use Mom's crystal.
For sure. I use mine all the time. I have 6, you remember.
And 8 water glasses each. Even Steven.
Yeah, well, I had 6, but one broke. A wine glass, not a water glass.
Oh, Syl, do you want one of mine? I hardly ever use them. Honestly, you should take one.
Oh, no, of course. I can always get...
Sorry, I should take this. It's Jennifer. I'll just be a minute.
I'll pour you a glass of wine.
Hey, sweetie. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, I'll send a transfer today. And listen, Jenny, can we talk later? Your Aunt Sylvia is here for a visit. Jennifer says hello.
Hi, Jennifer. I miss you. Come and visit me.
Okay, sweetie? Okay. I'll talk to you later. Yes, I'll send the money later today. No, I won't forget. Love you. Bye. Oh, wine. I need this.
Is Jen okay?
She's okay. She's just having a hard time adjusting to adulthood. You know, budgeting, feeding herself, working.
I hear you.
I'm beginning to think we'll be supporting her forever. So how about Douglas, since we're talking about the kids?
Dougie. Dougie is going backpacking in Europe with Judy. I think you met her at his grad.
Yes, I think I did briefly. For the summer?
It's open-ended, actually. They have big travel plans.
Wow, how great is that?
Yep.
He's going to school in the fall, though. He's finishing his law degree, right?
Well, no, he is not. It seems he's on hiatus, as they say. He wants to change direction.
Oh, dear.
It's this damn girl, Judy. She's an art history student, so now she wants him to be a businessman so they can travel and do something artsy, so they can start a business. Oh, I don't know. I can hardly bear to think about it.
Oh, and how does his dad feel about it?
Well, Peter goes red in the face every time I bring it up. He thinks Douglas is just too lazy to face his next step for law, the bar, that stuff. And he can't stand that his son is being jerked around by his girlfriend. Or should I say his fiance?
He's engaged? Boy, that's a lot to digest. I wasn't expecting to hear that.
They just told us the other day. We're still in shock. Peter thinks they'll break up over the summer, which is why he gave Dougie money for this trip. He's thinking they won't make it backpacking. Judy is a bit of a princess. Not that he isn't a prince, but he's not as entitled as she is. And they are not at all well suited.
So when they break up, he'll wrap up his law degree.
That's the hope. Hope for the best and prepare for the worst, as they say. So in the spirit of preparing for the worst...
You came to talk about the ring. That's why you trekked here in the rain.
Well, I thought we should talk in person. The kids are of an age that we should figure out what to do, one way or the other.
So it looks like Dougie should have the ring.
No, I'm not taking that for granted. Dad always said the ring should go to the first grandchild to get married. And you and I agreed that we would honor that and the other one would buy out the value. So I know that might not be Dougie. Jennifer might beat him to the punch. But it's sure to be one of them. And I propose we start to run the numbers. For a start, we need to get the ring evaluated, right?
Well, let's face it. Jennifer's out of the running. She's a lesbian, as you know.
I know that, of course. But lesbians get married.
Jennifer doesn't even like the ring. She thinks it's garish.
It is garish. It doesn't even look real. But we know how valuable it is. I know Daddy told us we could never sell it. But Daddy is long gone and we can do what we like, right? If the kids don't want it, we can sell it and split the money, right? We could split it between the kids or not.
What makes you so sure it's valuable?
What are you talking about? It's 4 carats. It's a perfect diamond.
So we were told over and over. But remember, it was never appraised.
I don't get it. Daddy got the ring from a miner who pinched it from a diamond mine in Africa in the 50s. Princess Margaret was visiting the mine and there was confusion and the diamond was stolen.
Or so the story goes.
He was working in Africa and he bought it for a song and had it set and gave it to Mum as an engagement ring. He told us it could never be appraised because it was distinctive and could be traced. It was in all the papers at the time.
And we bought it, even knowing that Dad was, to put it kindly, fond of telling tall tales. We bought the story hook, line and sinker.
Surely.
And Mom never wore it. She said it was too valuable and too showy, ostentatious. Didn't you ever wonder about that?
She was nervous she'd lose it or it would get stolen.
Or so the story goes.
Well, there's an obvious way to find out. Let's just get it appraised. At least then we'll know when we can be prepared to buy out the person who doesn't get it. Even Stephen. Although I know the ring might go up in value.
Or it might go down. Way down.
I'm not following. Are you worried it might get reported as stolen? I don't think there's any chance of that. I Googled the mine he talked about and there...
The ring is gone.
Gone? How can it be gone? It was in the safety deposit box. You told me it was in the safety deposit box.
It was. And I took it out because the stone was loose and I had it appraised, sort of. and it was worth $350. So I was a bit upset, in shock, actually. So I took the money and I went to Costco. And you know how easy it is to spend $350 at Costco.
What the? When? When did this happen?
Oh, about a month ago, maybe 5 weeks ago. Yes, for sure, 5 weeks ago. I remember because I had a doctor's appointment that day.
And when were you planning on telling me?
Oh, soon, I guess, soon. Gord kept telling me I had to tell you. I guess I was stalling a bit. I think I was in shock, actually.
And what did Gordon think?
He was disappointed and relieved, I think. We always hoped that you would buy us out one day. We didn't want the ring, per se. We wanted to use the money for a trip, the trip of a lifetime. On the other hand, we would have had to go into debt to buy you out, if Jen got married, that is. All in all, it was a burden and confusing because the money should go to Jennifer to make it fair.
Oh, my God. I think I'm having a heart attack.
It's panic. Happens to me all the time. Just concentrate on your breathing. In and out. In and out.
That's not going to do it for me. Grab my purse. There's a bottle of Ativan in there somewhere.
I got it. Here you go.
What am I going to tell Dougie? He asked me to find out how much it was worth. He's really excited about it.
Was he going to give it to her? Was she going to actually wear it?
Yes, of course. Maybe. Oh, God, I don't know.
They were probably planning to sell it.
Probably. That was probably the plan down the road.
Well, we could buy it back. It's at the pawn shop on the Danforth. You know the one. It's in the window, actually.
Well, that's a thought. It would be pretty mean to do that. Think of the spot Judy would be in having to wear a fake ring versus telling us our dad was a liar. Wait a minute. Did Dad know it was a fake?
Are you sure you want to know?
Of course I want to know.
Okay, then. Here goes. When I took the ring in to have the stone tightened, that old guy, Mr. Bergman, he's been there forever. He looks at it and says, I thought I'd seen the last of this ring. And he proceeds to tell me our father took it to him years and years back to be appraised. His plan was to have it cut into smaller stones to sell it. But when he found out it was a fake, he decided to give it to our mother. Then a few years later, Mom took it to him to have the setting fiddled with, and he told her it was worthless. So she knew.
So she knew it was a fake, and she knew that Daddy was lying all along.
She did.
She knew all the stuff he told us about Africa was made up. He probably never went to Africa. I always wondered about that part of the story.
She loved him, I guess. Maybe she didn't want to embarrass him. But she never told us. Even after he died, she let us believe we had this priceless ring in the family. It's taken me a while to absorb that.
I don't feel good. This is unbelievable.
I know. Mom was part of the con, I guess. Either that or she had a bizarre sense of humor. I always thought it was funny that she named us Sylvia and Lily. She set us up for so much teasing. Remember the kids down the block chanting?
Sil and Lil went up the hill to
fetch a pail of water. And considering our last name was McGill, it makes it even funnier. Sil and Lil McGill, for God's sake.
God, I feel like I didn't even know my own parents.
You'll get used to it. And it gets stranger.
How so?
Well, consider that when Dad told Jennifer and Douglas that the first married would get the ring, he set one family up against the other. How could he not see that the kids would be competing and that it would drive a wedge between us? It was mean-spirited of him, or just stupid and thoughtless. I'm not sure which.
Didn't divide us, did it? Because we made a pact that we would work the numbers to make it even, Stephen. And I always trusted we would do that, no matter what.
Funny thing is that Jennifer didn't care about the ring. Don't get me wrong, she does care about money, big time. But every time I mentioned the ring, she would roll her eyes. She didn't believe the story. She didn't believe the ring was valuable.
My God, Dougie was the opposite. He was obsessed with the thought of the ring since he was a kid. always checking Google to figure out the value.
A businessman in the making. Jennifer actually told me she didn't trust her grandpa. He was always tricking her, playing mind games. She used to tell me stories.
Mom played along with it.
She must have. He had a powerful presence, shall we say.
So, I'm thinking we should buy back the ring. Correction, you should buy back the ring and we give it to Dougie and let him figure it out. Kick the can down the road, as they say. Otherwise, we have to tell the kids their grandparents were basically con artists and that the ring was worth $350, which we divided. And incidentally, you owe me $175, which I'm sure you were planning on forking over at the time you fessed up.
No, no, no. As I see it, and I've had a lot of time to think this through, you owed me at least that amount since you didn't pay your half of the funeral costs.
So?
Did not. And I can prove it. I have all the receipts. You stiffed me on the flowers.
I bought that big cheese platter out of my own pocket. You never offered to pay for that. So it all balanced out.
No, no, no. I gave you cash for that cheese platter, most of which was inedible. We were in the church kitchen. I remember distinctly handing you the cash.
Okay. Well, I remember you asked how much it cost, and I said $50, so you gave me $25. But really, it cost $120. I was trying to be generous.
$120 for a plate of dried-up cheese? Where did you buy it? Old Renfrew?
And you got the china cabinet. And I noticed you have Mom's oil painting.
Come off it. You would never hang an amateur oil painting in your precious home. And you didn't want the china cabinet.
Well, maybe Dougie and Jude will want it.
Well, Mom promised it to me because I visited her 3 or 4 times a week for those last months. You were hardly ever there.
I was working.
Here we go, rubbing it in, you and your high power job, while I sit at home looking at paint chips. And when you did visit, you bored her to death talking about the bank. Do you really think she cared about corporate loans? She just wanted someone to watch the young and the restless with her, which I did. I could tell you every move Victor Newman made.
Oh, goody two shoes, you. You were always a mummy's girl.
And you were always a daddy's girl. You're just like him, strutting around in a business suit full of yourself, lying about diamond rings from Africa, buying cheese from Holt Renfrew.
They start to push one another. Lily storms out. She stumps back in carrying a huge bundle of toilet paper and a big jar of Metamucil. She drops them at Sylvia's feet.
Here you go. Your portion of the profits from the ring, from Costco. I will pay you the rest in installments.
They start pushing one another. Lily grabs Sylvia's hair.
Ouch! Leave my hair alone! You are such a bitch! Hair pulling is against the rules, as I recall.
You always hated it when I went for your hair. You are such a wuss.
Make me crazy. From the time you were a baby, you've been a pain in the ass.
Well, I love you too, Sil McGill.
Brat. That hurt, you know.
They plonk down on the sofa and sip their wine.
Okay. And the Ativan has kicked in. I feel better. So, the way I see it, the kicker is that Dad wanted the ring to go to the next generation so no one would know it was a fake. You and I would never have seen any of that money, right? In fact, we might have ended up, one of us, out of pocket for megabucks to buy the other one out so one of the kids could carry on this charade. And it would have stood between the kids. His own grandchildren. What a shitty thing to do.
Exactly. And if we followed the request, we wouldn't have had it appraised, and we would have just decided on a value.
A 4-carat diamond goes for around $60,000. I Googled. So when I came today, I was actually prepared to offer you $15,000 so Dougie could have the family heirloom to give to his shitty fiancé.
Before I knew it was a fake, I would have taken that, the diamond being hot and all, as long as the kids agreed not to sell it. They would have to keep it in the family.
So if you think it through, I'm actually up $15,000.
Could have used that money, but I would have felt obligated to give it to Jennifer.
We have to tell the kids.
If Dougie and his girlfriend break up, we can stall it a bit.
No, we need to tell them. Maybe once Miss Artsy Fartsy finds out there is no ring, she'll ditch him.
That could be the silver lining.
Douglas will be so disappointed.
He'll get over it. He is a McGill after all. We roll with the punches, yes?
That we do. Lots of experience after all.
Say, how about you stay for dinner? Gord is away and we have lots to talk about. I have a pre-cooked chicken.
From Costco?
Of course, from Costco.
We could order in. My treat.
You have been listening to the Act Two studio production of Even Steven by Pat Cochran, directed by Jeanette Cairns and featuring Holly Kirkconnell as Lily and Ginny Thompson as Sylvia. Technical production was by Rick Sutton. Even Steven was recorded on October 25th, 2020. Vrenya Ivanovsky is Artistic Director of Act Two Studio. Thank you for listening. ¶¶